everyone. Welcome back to what is the first Fundamentally Sound podcast where we're in regular season since we started this in the NCAA tournament last year. It's episode 35. It is Reeves and Ben Brust. Ben, what's going on, man?
Everyone listening is going to be hearing a couple of wounded soldiers right now.
Yeah, I have felt better. I had RDTs. If you're a Barcelona fan, RDT got married yesterday on Saturday. I was out in Baltimore for his wedding. It was a great time, but I'm not feeling great today because of it.
And usually, like, I'm in the position where I'm the one who's like this, and you're able to, like, be like, just keep the show going. And I'm a little worried for you right now. I've never seen you like this.
It's because, like, it was a weird day. So usually, like, when the hangover hits, I just go down to my basement, ride it out, and then I'm fine. Today it was our flight. We obviously flew from Baltimore back home to Cincinnati, and our flight wasn't until 4:10 today. So we had to be out of the room at like by 1 o'clock. So then we just sat in a fucking airport restaurant for like 2 hours watching football.
That is depressing.
Yeah. Then we went to the gate just to like, I had to just get out of the restaurant area. So we just sat at the gate for another like 45 minutes.
That is Sunday scaries times a billion.
Like the worst thing was there was not even an earlier flight. Cause when we woke up, like we were awake relatively early. And we were like, all right, let's see if there's an earlier flight. If it's within like $100, let's just do it to get home earlier. And of course there was no earlier flight.
Yeah. But did you at least see Indiana lose?
Yeah. Yeah.
My goodness. The press conference was hilarious.
Yeah. So, I mean, I talked about it. Like, I know it's like, it's an easy joke, and I mean, I love making fun of teams and fan bases and whatnot, but
especially like, a blue blood type program too.
Right. But Archie's my guy. And I think Indiana fans need to relax. Like,
They do. I mean, but you have to also like enjoy it just as like a fan from afar. Like, and
oh, right.
As long as it's not your team, it's enjoyable.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Like the one thing it's like, guys, relax. Like just wait until he gets his players into the system which is what his system is. Like you guys will not be losing to Indiana State by like 20 points at home.
The Badgers lost to Western Illinois and went to the Sweet 16 the same year.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little different, but
it is. I'm just saying, like, everyone likes to overreact.
Right.
Like, and this takes me back a little bit to what you were getting at with scrimmages, secret scrimmages, exhibitions. Like, these opening, like, two to three games against the MEAC schools that travel all across the country to play these big-time programs or whatever the conference is, too. There's so many of these games where you draw conclusions and say, oh my gosh, look at this guy. He's going to do this, and this all year and score 16 points a game. And that's just not the reality. Like, so I don't like to judge too much, but it's good for the teams that take care of business. Like, if you're a 25, 30 point favorite and you at least win by 20, like, and just take care of business, I usually think that's a good sign.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, there are definitely some things where you're like, okay, that makes sense. Like, you know, they're looking the part. Like Duke, like they look the part that yep. you wanted Duke to look like. You know, a team that I got asked about a lot, obviously, is
Kentucky.
And it's not like, again, I have to tell people that aren't Kentucky fans that this is just kind of what Kentucky does. Now, this is a little different this year because they are younger. And, you know, I don't know what to make of this team 100% yet, but like, they will look a million times different and a million times better in late January than they look right now.
And I will back that statement up to, you know, to 100% because, number one, like you said, it's a little different. They are the youngest team, believe it or not, that Coach Cal has had.
Yeah, and it's like not close.
And by the end of the season, they'll be like a completely different team.
Well, they won't even know that right now.
It's almost like they need to go through this. They need to have like these lapses and figure out like how to play with each other so Coach Cal can break it down on film. And a lot of these guys, you know, it's tough being a freshman. You got to come in and you're usually an All-American. You got NBA draft status that you're trying to play for, and you kind of fool yourself in the head. You don't really know what it takes to win in college basketball yet. And I think Coach Cal does a good job of taking like today against was it Vermont?
Vermont, a good, you know, good Vermont team.
A good Vermont team, which is a good test. Should it be as close as it was today? No, but again, they at least got the win.
Right,
and like we'll be able to learn from it and get better.
Right, and they're up 13 or 12 at half or whatever, 14 at half. So it's like it's just a typical young team of, you know, good half, then get lazy and inconsistent, and it's then a bad
half. Over a bit, leave some open shooters. But really all I needed to see was the last possession of the game. I was like, okay. I knew Vermont wasn't going – even though they got a good look, it still was like – I knew they weren't going to win just because there's still so much length and athleticism right. that you just see that you can't teach that is going to prevail in the grand scheme of things for a team like Kentucky. Well, like
thing with Kentucky, like you mentioned how it's hard for freshmen to come in where – you know, you have everything else going on, just getting adapted to college life and everything like that, is like Calipari, people kind of bash him for running a, like they just don't think he has plays or it's just very simple. Like his defense especially is not simple. It's, you know, it's predicated on, you know, switches and, you know, how to like being aggressive with rotations. Mm-hmm. And then offensively it's based on reads. Like, that's not necessarily an easy thing to adjust to. Like, yes, it does look simple because they're not running. It's not necessarily a complex offense or anything like that. The defense is definitely more complex. But the offense, it's, you know, you have to it's on reads because it's a circle cuts where it's, okay, do I shoot the 12-footer? Do I attack the rim? Or do I throw a lob? Or do I, like, or do I have the kick, you know, the kick to the corner three? And it's like that'll come as these guys get used to playing with each other.
Yeah, and it was, like, weird because – again, even though they didn't play well, they did some things already that I'm so used to seeing Kentucky teams do. They ran like the little baseline, almost like a down screen, but it's really low, and they curl it into the center of the lane. They toss it up to the big for an alley-oop. And I was like, I've seen that a million times in the John Calipari era. And if you're already seeing like the signs of like them grasping a little bit of what he wants to get them to do, then give him time, let them learn, let them grow, and they'll be fine.
Well, I think the one positive – you know, somebody tweeted me today, well, you know, I think it was something about like how they're just not shooting three-pointers or whatever, or like there's no offense outside of 5 feet. And I'm like, you know what? That tells, like, that's the opposite. Like, they are – that's showing me, like, they are playing to their strengths offensively. Like, is it great? No. Like, you know, I think they still need to become, you know, a better shooting team in order to win, be more successful. But, you know, they had 8 3-point attempts today or 9 3-point attempts today. So it's like they're not sitting there like, what would you rather have? A team playing to their strengths, attacking the rim, getting fouls, or shooting like 4 for 17 from the three-point line?
The 4 for 17 for a team that doesn't shoot well is not a good recipe, just when you have the size and athleticism that they have. Like you said, play to the strengths.
Right.
There's no reason not to.
I'm not freaking out about Kentucky yet. Obviously, like, it hasn't been a great start, but it's 2-0. Like, they've kind of faced a little bit of adversity against one good team and one, you know, one team that you would like to see them just kind of blow out. But, you know, it's not like panic time or anything like that. And I think people that are immediately dismissing Kentucky right now are just kind of a little ahead of themselves.
Oh, yeah, it's classic overreaction to what you've seen in 80 minutes instead of letting the season play out. One game – so – gonna jump a little bit all over the place this whole show, I'm guessing, but I do want to talk about a team that I have talked about a bunch and have been really high on, and I'm sticking to my guns. Did you watch Purdue at all today?
I did not get to watch them today because I was in the, like, I didn't have it on my DirecTV app or whatever.
They played a miserable Chicago State team.
Yeah.
Like, miserable. So again, I like to mention that before I talk about my point. They looked amazing. It was like a clinic. It was like when you walk into a gym and you see like a practice going and you do like the drive, kick, extra pass, and like it's smooth and it's fluid. They were actually like doing that in the game where I was like, all right, shot fake, drive, kick, extra pass, Carson Edwards three. Like, and to when we were talking about Purdue and I talk about how, you know, bringing back all the experience, you were right in the aspect of, with Isaac Haas, they're not going to be playing inside out at all. This is a team that's going to be perimeter based. Switching from touching Swanigan last year, they have all five guys on the floor when they take Isaac Haas out, can dribble, pass, and shoot. And like that is today's basketball. And I think they're almost like a very poor man's Golden State Warrior team. I don't know if it might be a little bit of a stretch, but I like the way they play and what they've showed me so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a stretch just because, you know, they don't have, obviously, like, the playmate. I don't think they have the playmate.
I'm just saying, like for a college basketball team.
Right, right, right.
Man, like, that's the way I can see them.
No, like, I get your comparison. I just don't like it because I'm just not high on Purdue strictly because I think there's a glaring weakness, and it's what you just mentioned.
Yes. He is the weakness, which is crazy to say.
Yeah, and sticking with the Big Ten, you know, the way I should say, let's take a sidebar for a second. The way that this show is going to run today is we're going to obviously do a little recap and then preview the Champions Classic, the Gavitt Games, and then
a little fouled out.
And so every Sunday night, we're recording this 8:30 Sunday night. Every Sunday night, Ben and I are going to record a show similar to this. And then during the week, we will have a second show. It'll definitely be me. Ben will be here and there on the show on Wednesdays or Thursday nights, whenever it is, based on Ben's schedule. And that show will likely have a guest. So people listening in the future, I know we talked about it and we had some questions. That's kind of the layout of the show now that we're in season, which is just awesome.
Yeah, no, I love this Sunday recording. I was going to say Sunday night show. A lot of people will be listening to this on Monday.
Yeah.
But like we get to talk about now there's like a lot more Friday games in college basketball,
yeah,
which is good. There's obviously the slate of Saturday games, and there's usually a really good Sunday afternoon
once,
CBS game. Like, yeah, once we're in the heart of everything, it's going to be – this is going to be perfect for everyone to recap the weekend. I guess I will do this now that it's – you know, I've done my onboarding. I do have to do a little self-promo. Check out your boy Thursday night on the Big Ten Network.
There you go. Speaking, I just want to stick real quick. Obviously, we talked about Kentucky. Got to talk real quick about Wisconsin. I'm happy the way they looked. You know, I'm upset though that Yale wasn't full strength. Same thing like when Yale played Creighton. Like, Yale had two good opportunities to get probably two wins, if I'm being honest. Like, Yale at full strength could beat Wisconsin and Creighton on the road. Like, they're that good at full strength.
They are.
It sucked that they're missing two starters because it's like you see that and like again,
Wisconsin, they're two. Not even just two starters. They're two best players.
Well, yeah, two of the three best players. And like Mekhi Mason's a guy that you like Yale needs to have because he can just go get his own bucket.
Did like he put up 30 against Baylor?
Killed Baylor and had a good game against Duke. So. Like, yeah, you see the score and you're like, wow, Wisconsin beat the shit out of Yale, which is, again, good to see. Like, you can only play who's in front of you, like, you know, who's on the court.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took care of business. Again, awesome to see. I'll give them credit there. But I'm still, like, kind of holding out judgment on this team because, like you mentioned earlier.
Well, there's going to be lots of opportunity to judge them because yeah, they play Xavier. They play Baylor. Who else do they play? They got a bunch more games that are tough opponents. And that's what this team needs. This is very similar to what we were saying with Kentucky. A team like this who needs guys to step up, I think they need to be challenged.
So
otherwise, if you play the cupcakes, it's you're never going to really know what you have.
So I want your take on this Wisconsin team from what you've seen, again, with the asterisk that you know they didn't play a full Yale team, everything like that. And it's only two games into the season.
Yeah, I was at the game on Friday, and again, taking for what it's worth and what we talked about, I was very pleasantly surprised in guys stepping up. Like, for guys that had good games for the first game, there were still question marks of whether or not they would hold the position. They have two freshmen who have great summers that you never know if they could just pass over a couple right. guys and go small and do some different things. But a guy like Andy Van Vliet, he's looks solid. He's your classic Wisconsin four man who, if he can really grasp like stepping out from that back screen and the swing, you know, stretching the floor on a skip pass for a three, that's really good. Brevin Pritzels looks solid, through the first two games.
Van Vliet looked pretty solid.
Yeah. Like that's, that's really like that's all you can ask for. Khalil Iverson had a good game today after not attempting a shot the other day.
Really good game today.
Did you – so you watched a little bit today?
I caught the second half.
Yeah. No, and what Ethan Happ is going to have to do is really – he's going to have to trust his teammates because anytime he gets the ball, it's not just like a double him. No, it's go double him to get it out of his hands. Some people can score when a double comes, but – you have to double him to get it out of his hands because he's too good around the rim.
Well, and we saw last year when he got doubled, he really, really struggled. Pat, like, he was turnover prone when those hard doubles came.
He had one today where it was like I would have liked to have seen him make the better read, but then the next play, the same look happened out of the double, and he looked off the defender. So again, this is good for him. I'm glad last year when he was playing. Teams in the non-conference didn't scout Ethan Happ.
Yeah, because
like,
it was what
– North like it didn't Big Ten.
Northwestern did it first, right? Like they're the first team that really threw the hard double at him.
Correct. And like – so for him to get practice in the non-conference I think is huge for him as a player and big for the Badgers. So they'll be tested Thursday against Xavier.
Yeah, let's talk about that game. Let's go there.
I'm fine with it because this is like an awesome like – November college basketball.
Yeah.
Did you just get delivered a beer?
I got delivered a pink lemonade. There's zero chance I'm drinking a beer right now.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to have like alcohol after you're hungover, you don't want like a canned beer at 8:53 at night.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Like I would have like, I'd have a vodka pink lemonade, something like that.
Yeah. Something that like would taste good. Not like forcing down a Bud Light or Miller Lite out of a can, but yeah.
It's like I've had one of those days where I just can't quench my thirst, and I've had water, I've had soda, I've had everything, and it's just like nothing's working. So I was like, I'm going to try pink lemonade.
I imagine going back to that game that Iverson would be guarding Blewett.
Yeah, that's going to be
– a great matchup. Like it that is. Would be – Khalil 6'6".
Did you catch any of Xavier's highlights from Friday night?
Haven't seen a thing. I know they scored 100 today.
And blew it. His shooting is there. Like his
is he everything that we expect
him to be? Again, like I take it with a grain of salt because of you know they played Morehead State, but his form was there. You know, he had that injury in practice and his shoulder and it just didn't look like, you know, again, it didn't look like anything was bothering him. His form was there. I'm pulling up his exact stats from that night. But man, it's a game. You know, I like Xavier in that matchup.
I do too.
Because usually early talent prevails.
Early talent will prevail against a younger team learning to play with each other and. I think it'll be a good game. I think Wisconsin will be competitive.
So Blewett had 25 on 9 of 12 shooting, 5 for 7 from the 3-point line.
Yeah, that's stupid. Like,
he might be 25 on 12 is ridiculous.
He might be the best pure scorer in college basketball.
He's on the short list. Like I think like Alonzo Trier honestly might be.
Like
it's one of those guys like a Trier, a Blewett, a Grayson Allen,
for Blewett. All I'm getting at for Trier, like he's a guard, he's got the ball in his hands all the time, a lot more like Blewett playing off the ball and getting buckets the way he does. He's kind of like a poor man's Melo in a way.
Oh yeah, because he's got like the similar body to like college Melo, where he's playing the small ball four. Melo is obviously a much better rebounder. Everything like that, but
a little more athletic back in his day too.
Yeah. But like Blewett has that like
that mid-range game, kind of the turnaround, like fadeaway.
Yeah, then you know steps out. You know, good three-point shooter. What do you think? I don't necessarily think the matchup of let's say it's Iverson versus Blewett is going to dictate this game.
No, it's not. That's not going to dictate at all. For really, what dictates the game is. If Wisconsin's guys that we all just talked about that said look good these two games, if they can do it against their quality opponent. Right. Because otherwise there's just too much talent on the other side. So who are the two guys outside of Happ? And again, like everyone brings up Demetri Trice, like what has Demetri Trace done other than come off the bench as a freshman to show that he's going to be a consistent player?
Yeah, so, I just like him. I think he's going to take the jump.
I do too, but this is when we find out who's ready to take that jump in a big time game in November.
Yeah, because Xavier's deep. You know, they're gonna control tempo. Like, they will try to, you know, they'll try to score 100 on you.
Like, is Andy Van Vliet, is he ready for Makura? Is he ready for a guy who's gonna mix it up, who's done it for 4 years?
How tall is Andy Van Vliet?
He's tall. He's like 6'10", but again, he's not the strongest of men. Right. He's not really going inside. He plays kind of that stretch four position that we always talk about.
So, I mean, is he going to end up on Blue at times?
I don't think so.
Because if so, that could get ugly.
The way it goes for Wisconsin in that sort of scenario, they'll put him on whoever is the next closest guy in height that is the least bit of a threat offensively.
So that
name that starting lineup real quick.
Yeah, so Xavier started against Morehead State. Gates, Jones, Gooden, Blewett, and Makura. They brought the freshmen off the bench in Marshall and Scruggs. And Cantor, who's the grad transfer, Enos's brother, came in off the bench as well.
Okay.
So he's probably
that's actually kind of weird.
They'll probably put him on like Tyreek Jones then, because Tyreek Jones is 6'9".
Kind of a little more like a offensive rebounding threat.
Because like Hap will be on – my guess is Hap will go on – actually, I don't know. No,
they wouldn't
Hap,
put
will
ha-
probably,
they
w- Hap will probably guard Jones because Gates likes to play at the three-point line.
Then that's better for Van Vliet.
Yeah.
They can just follow each other around the rim.
What was Wisconsin's starting five?
It is Trice, Pritzel, Iverson, Van Vliet, and Hap. All
right, so they're going to go. My guess is for the matchups, you're going to see Hap on Jones, Van Vliet on Gates, Iverson on Blewett, Makura and Pritzel, and then
Pritzel.
Yeah, that's how he should just go by Brevin Pritzel.
He really should, though. I like that.
Then Gooden and Trice matched up. That's interesting. There's some interesting matchups there.
Yeah, it's gonna be an intriguing test that I get Xavier by like 8 or 10.
Yeah, that sounds right. Like something like 76.
Something like that. I completely agree.
So another game I want to talk about real quick. I'm going to stick with the Gavitt games, and I'm going to read you the schedule here. Gavitt games is obviously Big East first, Big Ten. The game tomorrow is Minnesota at Providence. That's the game I want to talk about, but I'm going to finish out the schedule. On Tuesday, it's Purdue at Marquette. On the 15th, it's Butler at Maryland, Creighton at Northwestern, Indiana at Seton Hall. On the 16th, it is Nebraska at St. John's and Xavier at Wisconsin. And then on the 17th, it's DePaul at Illinois.
Seton Hall by a million.
Yeah, I mean at home too. Like that's a game they need to win. That Creighton Northwestern game is going to be sneaky intriguing.
I even think Purdue Marquette.
There's going to be a lot of three pointers in that game. But like,
I haven't seen much of Minnesota yet, to be honest. Is that tomorrow?
That's tomorrow at 6:30. It's 6:30 Eastern.
Okay. Well, good. That's right at 5:30. Nice. We can get right after it.
Yeah.
Is there one after that too?
No. It's just one game tomorrow.
Just one game. Is there any good game other than that on tomorrow?
So according to Ken Pom, you know, he does like the fan match or whatever, which is kind of puts like how, like what he, like his, it's based on projections of what the best games are going to be. Minnesota Providence rates as his best, you know, the best game tomorrow. Then after that, it is Rhode Island at Nevada, which I think is going to be an awesome game.
Yeah, those are two good mid-major programs.
I don't even necessarily consider them mid-majors.
I know what you're saying, but they're in the same conferences as a bunch of mid-majors.
So that's at 11:30 Eastern because it's out in Nevada. You know, and then you have like Vanderbilt Belmont's kind of a sneaky game because it's at Belmont.
So will you stay up at 11:30 Eastern and watch that whole game, or you just record it and watch it?
I'll probably record it and watch that one, or I'll watch on like Synergy the next day, because I'm 30 and this hangover will probably make me just want to go to bed tomorrow.
Oh yeah, 2-day hangovers are real.
Yeah, and then then I also know Tuesday night is Kentucky Kansas at 9:30, like schedules, which means it's probably not going to tip till like 10.
I really am not that interested in that game more than I am Duke Michigan State.
Yeah, I agree, because I think Kentucky.
I mean, obviously everyone is
right. Yeah, well, I mean, 1 and 2. I think Duke Michigan State's gonna be a much better game. But going back to the Gavitt games, all right, let's go quick predictions. We're gonna end with Minnesota Providence. I want to talk a little bit in depth about that one. Purdue at Marquette, who wins?
Purdue.
I agree with you. I would bet Purdue. That's one of those games though. If like Marquette goes like, you know, 14 for 19 from the 3-point line, they'll win by like 7. Butler at Maryland.
Ooh, that's kind of an intriguing matchup.
That's Maryland's best non-conference game. Maryland has a shitty non-conference schedule this year.
It's at Maryland.
It's at Maryland.
I like Maryland.
I agree completely. I mean, Maryland's my sleep like team that I think is a little bit under the radar this year, so I'm picking that. Creighton at Northwestern.
I think Creighton could win this game.
I agree.
Man, we're 3-0 right now.
But
we're either going to make a lot of money or we're going to be killed. So
that game's going to be intriguing because you have Kyrie Thomas and Marcus Foster, and then
Marcus Foster versus Bryant McIntosh.
Right.
See, like this Kyrie is Thomas like
versus Bryant McIntosh.
Well, true. But like this is like where you get to see. Like, where does Bryant McIntosh rank against, like, true point guards that are studs?
How efficient can he be?
I'm a big Marcus Foster fan.
Indiana at Seton Hall. Seton Hall.
Seton Hall. Like I said, by a billion.
Nebraska at St. John's.
I'm watching Indiana right now. I got the two TVs. I sent you the Snapchat, right?
No.
Like, way back when. First moving out, I was like, TV. So I probably will have Big Ten Network just on the TV 2. Just like rolling all the time, and then
TV is a wonderful thing.
I don't know how I lived without it.
Yeah, I keep trying to convince my wife to let me do like Megadesk with my TVs. Like I want more.
Yeah, actually, I have a third cable box that came for free, and it's in my room right now. But maybe I just get a third TV for here.
You like, might have to.
But here's the thing. But is it too much?
No, there's no such thing.
No, but there is though, because then you can't really watch. Like you feel like you have to bounce around to each TV to make sure you're watching it, and then you miss everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
You know what I mean? Like over 3 TVs, probably like too much. Then wouldn't you say, like for actual viewing purposes?
No, because you can go like I think 4 is the ideal.
I did set up 4 TVs with my brother-in-law 2 March Madnesses ago, and then I streamed. You know, we had like 3 different computers. So we had True TV, TNT, TBS, CBS. And I will say that like 4 TVs wasn't a lot then. So maybe I should just bite the bullet, the third one out here.
You might have to.
Because there's a media timeout every like 5 minutes anyway. Right. So like I don't want to watch the commercials. I'd rather just – as soon as this one goes, I'm back to NFL football.
Right. Halftimes can run long and everything like that. Yeah. All right. So Providence, Minnesota –
is that everything? Did we talk all of them?
Yeah, I mean it's like DePaul at Illinois was the last one.
Yeah, we got to do that one.
Illinois.
DePaul was sneaky okay their first game.
Nah, I'm going to Illinois.
You're just a Brad Underwood. Just
I also think Illinois is like.
I think they're a decent team. They're not that bad. Right, I don't think. Right.
Like everyone's just writing them off, and they like they're not bad.
Yeah. Again, it helps that Underwood's got 2 guards that can play.
He's got 3.
Who's the third?
He's got All-Star Smith and who's the kid from last year that played really well at the point spot last year?
Black? No, he's
– is it LaRon Black? No, it's –
No.
Oh, and I have to look up the roster. But There is three because Smith is, you know, it's the freshman, Allstark's the transfer. I just like that.
I'm going to go different than you just so I can – like we need to have one different game. I'm going to Paul.
Oh, it's to John Lucas.
Yep.
All right, so Providence, Minnesota, like that's a big game for both teams because like Minnesota is trying to solidify itself as this, you know, Final Four caliber team. I don't necessarily think they're that good. They're second week in good. Providence is like, you know, hey, don't forget about us in the Big East. We are a French top 25 team. We return everybody. Plus, we have Ed Cooley. Would this game, obviously it's early, but do you think this is a statement game for one of these teams? Like, if they go out and win, like, whether Minnesota wins on the road or Providence, you know, wins by, let's say, five or whatever?
Well, I will be recording this one and watching because I don't think I can watch it now that I think about it. I will be looking for Minnesota to do what I've been asking pretty much in all of our podcasts and anytime we talk about Minnesota, right? Like, they have the talent. They have the people coming back. I actually really love Reggie Lynch's game. Can they make a statement at Providence? I think it'd be more of a statement for Minnesota to prove to me that they are like taking that next step,
right?
More so than Providence. If Providence wins, it's at Providence. You know, I'm like, okay, good win. Let's see what they're like come Big East season.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Who are you picking?
I'm going to put some faith in Minnesota, and I hope they let me down.
I'm going to go Providence. All right, so obviously the games this week that everyone is talking about, you alluded to, we both alluded to, Champions Classic on Tuesday.
We got a spread. I guess I could look it up.
I don't know if the spread's out yet because it usually doesn't get posted until 24 hours before.
Yeah, but for bigger games like that, sometimes they do. That way they can catch a lot of action on it.
See, I haven't seen any. I haven't seen any lines yet.
Tuesday, yeah, nothing.
So,
what would your guess be on the line?
I would guess Duke minus 1.5.
I was gonna say Duke minus 3 or something like that, yeah.
And Kansas minus 6.5.
I'm probably taking Michigan State.
I'm leaning Michigan State and Kansas.
Michigan State and Kansas. Yeah, Kentucky's 0-2 against the spread, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. That, and I just think, again, it's a young, you know, the young Kentucky team. They're going to, like, they struggle today with, you know, like, Trayvon Haynes and what he's capable of at Vermont. His style of play, well, Devontae Graham and Malik Newman in the backcourt, that's going to give them trouble. Like, that's a game that I'd probably look, like, Kentucky could easily win come March, but I think, you know, as of what, November 14th?
Which team got exposed last year in this? Didn't Michigan State just get crushed?
So Kentucky beat Michigan State pretty handily last
year. Pretty handily, right? Yeah. I think that happens to Kentucky this year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like Kansas by like 13.
That's handily enough.
But I don't think it's going to be like what's it called? I don't think it's going to be like, you know, like what we've seen, like what Kentucky did to Kansas a couple years before and what, you know, things like that. So, you know, I just think it's one where Kansas is just kind of in control for most of the time.
I definitely see that. Also,
Kentucky beat Michigan State 69-48 last year. No.
Also, be on the lookout for Kansas corner threes.
Yeah, and the
live and die with the Kansas corner three. It's my favorite thing in college basketball.
That, and I just think like what Malik Newman has brought to that backcourt to fill in, like when you slide Devontae Graham now on the ball and. I'll tell you what, man, like Malik Newman like does not get talked about enough.
Yeah, but this is why this event is perfect for this, because you see like you get a chance to for the casual fan to see some names that maybe should be bigger and be more talked about. And now he's got a chance, you know, to prove it right now in a perfect matchup for him, I think.
What's going
to
be interesting, though, is Kansas is really thin in the backcourt – or, no, I'm sorry, in the front court.
In the front court.
And, like, they should be getting Billy Preston back from suspension, but how does he look in his – you know, as a freshman – like, Kentucky could take advantage here of, you know, like, getting the ball to, like, Nick Richards and like, P.J. Washington and attacking in the paint versus Kansas. It's going to be similar to what we saw today with Vermont hitting a bunch of threes and attacking with a bunch of guards. That's what Kansas is going to do to Kentucky. But, obviously, like, Devontae Graham's a lot better than Trey Bell Haynes.
So much better.
Right.
You know, much better.
First-team All-American. Second-team All-American.
What I want to do next time, though, is next Thursday that I can – I know I can't do this Thursday – is we need to have some sort of competition against the spread, you and I, for something that we do like at a live show or something. We'll off-air that conversation. You know what? We'll take suggestions. How about that?
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that. I like that a lot.
We'll just do like five games going into the weekend. We'll pick five random games against the spread, and then the loser of the challenge will do whatever one of our listeners tweets at us or direct messages us.
Whatever we like.
Yeah, I like that.
What matchup are you looking at in this Kansas-Kentucky game?
Probably just the front court of Kentucky versus Kansas. Cause like you said, it's thin for Kansas, and I don't know. I want to see more from Kentucky's bigs being better defensively.
Okay. I like that. I'm interested to see, it's a little bit off the radar. I'm interested to see like Svi Mykhailiuk for Kansas, and kind of like, he's kind of that guy that can win Kansas games. Because he's, you know, he can be a good shooter. He can attack. Provides a different look. A little bit of a mismatch. I'm curious to see kind of how Kentucky guards him and how many open threes he's able to get.
Yeah. Again, like, this game doesn't excite me too much because I've watched Kentucky today and I wasn't, like, overly impressed. And, again, I'm not jumping to quick conclusions, but I'm really excited to see Miles Bridges on the stage. Obviously everyone's going to talk about, oh, he's coming back, but I want to see him just destroy. Cause I have a big time basketball crush on him.
Yeah. Let's go to Michigan State Duke.
Yes.
Which is like up in like game of the year type conversation.
Like if this was the national championship game, then I wouldn't be mad.
What gets you excited about this game the most?
I kind of just said it. Miles Bridges for sure. Actually, I want to see how Nick Ward does this year. I think he is kind of like falling under the radar a little bit, believe it or not. I know like it's weird to say, but I want to see Nick Ward. I want to see the guards from Michigan State. I have question marks in their ability to take the next step. Like who's going to be that one guy who gets you that bucket. Other than Miles Bridges, like that's a big unknown for me.
Yeah, I think
that is obviously the most talented team in the Big Ten. But who's going to be the guy other than Bridges and Ward to like be that third like steady guy you can count on each game?
Yeah,
because they lose Aaron Harris. They lost a good wing scorer.
Yeah, I think Langford can easily be that. I think like Wankford is very comparable to Aaron Harris, and can kind of be that wing scorer on the, another guy, like in terms of like being like the third, I think Wankford's the third scorer, if not Jaren Jackson too, but in terms of the third guy that I think is most consistent, I think it'll end up being Cassius Winston.
Yeah, you're probably right there. I don't know. I really want to see who like Grayson Allen do something to break the internet.
I mean, it's going to happen at some point this year. I talked to Vicini about it. It's not going to be like, he's not going to trip somebody, but it's going to be some like, there is going to be a play like what happened in the Florida State game last year where he kind of fell into the bench. It looked like he pushed the assistant coach or whatever. Something like that's going to happen, and it's going to be dumb because people are going to run with it because it's Grayson Allen. Like, he'll get, like, tangled up, and it'll just look worse than what it actually is. And people will just start – there'll be so many, like, you know, articles about, oh, Grayson Allen's back at it again.
So who's better tomorrow, Bagley or Bridges?
Wow. Man, Bagley's been really good to start the year.
I know. He's averaging a double-double right now.
He's averaging 25.
25 and 10. And 10.
I will go Bridges, but I'm not comfortable saying that just because of how good Bagley has looked.
Yeah, Duke's another team that I haven't seen yet. So this is the week now where, like, now that we have Saturday past me, there's actually good games during the week, which I like college basketball better during the week. So I'm not doing anything at night anyway.
Yeah, like you're just sitting on the couch and you can just sit there and watch.
Exactly. With college football on still, it's hard to get away from that. I agree. Bridges is averaging 20 and 10. Bagley's 25 and 10. I don't know. And I actually have been very impressed with Jaren Jackson because he's only playing like 20 minutes a game and he's got 13-13 right now.
Yeah,
I mean,
Jaren Jackson's really fucking good.
Yeah, like he's coming off the bench, isn't he?
No, he started.
He started?
Yeah, they moved Bridges to the three.
I mean, Ben Carter played 7 minutes in their last game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Michigan State's front court is just so deep. But, you know, like, Ben Carter is, like, the fifth best player in the front court.
Gavin Schilling played 16 minutes. Like, he's, like, a six-year senior. Yeah. But, like, Cassius Winston, again, like you said, is the guy to me. And I guess even Josh Langford.
Yeah, because I think Langford's that wing scorer.
He can take plays from what Aaron Harris did, maybe even be better at it, to be honest.
And then, I mean, to me, the thing for Michigan State is how do they take care of the ball? Like, last year, they were sub-300. Like, they were in the 300s in turnovers percentage. Like, Tum-Tum Nairn just was a walking turnover. Cassius Winston was a walking turnover. That can't happen this year. Like, you can't win a title if you're turning the ball over more than, like, 300 other programs in Division I.
No, I completely agree. And I believe that Izzo would – make that a point, especially with his guards like Tum-Tum Nairn, who
you would think, but
has been there for
Tum-Tum
5 years
senior
now.
And it's still the same.
I know. We'll see what happens.
That's my only concern.
In a game versus Kentucky, like you're going to be challenged, and you're going to find out if they're going to be taking care of the ball better, or if they're the same role that they were last year.
See, that's my concern when I hear Michigan State national champion.
Like, I think they had. Let's look here. Oh, oy vey. Guess how many turnovers they had last game?
19.
21.
Yeah, that's
way. Yeah, that is way too many to be a top five team.
How many did Winston and Nairn have?
Tum-Tum had two. And who else?
Winston.
Cassius had two. Nick Ward had five, and yeah. Miles Bridges had three.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised by Bridges. Ward having five's weird, a little concerning.
That is weird. Yeah,
I'll have to go watch. I'll have to go watch. Like, just
is he bringing the ball down under the, like, for guards to slap it out?
Yeah, or is he getting, like, pressured and, like, just, you know, like, airmailing a pass or something like that? A pass out of the post.
Against North Florida, too.
Yeah. That's weird.
That's concerning.
Yeah, so, like, on the Duke side, again, like, this is a young team. The one difference to them to Kentucky, though, is you have Grayson Allen. Like, you have a guy that's been there, and you have Marcus Bolden. Like, you have two guys who have experience. Obviously, Grayson Allen a lot more than Marcus Bolden, but two guys that have experience in the rotation. And the fact that Grayson Allen's healthy. But, like, I'll tell you what, Duval looked good yesterday. Now, again, they played Utah Valley yesterday on Saturday, the day after Utah Valley played at Kentucky. So I take that with a little bit of a grain of salt, just because it's a back.
Yeah, they had to fly over there right after that.
Too, yeah.
Going into Cameron Indoor, like, no hope.
A day after playing.
But looking at Michigan State's schedule, like, other than playing Duke and Notre Dame, their non conference is kind of a joke.
Well, they're in the PK-82.
Ah, that's right.
So, like, okay, yeah, you don't know what
They don't know what that after what DePaul.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the bracket right now. The PK80 bracket for Michigan State is they play Georgetown in the opener, and then they play either Connecticut or Oregon, and then
That would be an awesome game to watch.
Oregon, yeah.
Oregon, Michigan State, not UConn.
And the other four teams in their bracket are UNC, Portland, Arkansas, and Oklahoma.
You know what I didn't even look at is how I'm doing in our fantasy league.
I'm winning. I'm beating Vecini.
Good. I want you to beat Vecini.
Michigan State, like, that, again, you don't know how that bracket's going to be, like, who do they end up playing. Like, you know, if you're Michigan State, you hope you see Oregon in the semis and then, you know, UNC. But hopefully you don't lose and then have to play, like, Connecticut and, like, Portland or something like that.
Yeah, that hurts. It definitely hurts it. I say we jump the foul out.
All right, fouled out. It's been a while since we've done fouled out, so if people don't remember – Fouled Out is a segment that we came up with, and it is five questions for each other, or we'll do five questions from Twitter, from fans or something like that, but it's based around five questions, obviously, with it being Fouled Out. So I'll let you start because you texted me that you had some intriguing ones.
I don't know. I think anytime I do something like this, I always think that they're great. So this one just came through my head. I'm gonna start with something that's not basketball related, and this is really random. So you ever go, like, pretend you're walking into a school, right? There's usually like an outside door and then an inside door. So like there's two sets of doors. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Like, so when someone waits, like say you're like following behind somebody, right? And they open the first door for you, you obviously say thank you, right?
Yep.
The second door that they open, is it weird to say thank you twice, or do you only have to say it once, and the one time you did it, it just made it okay for the next time he opens the door, which is like 2 seconds after?
I'll give like a head nod type thing.
But they're ahead of you. Like, they're just holding it for you.
Right. So I give the thank you for the first one. Yeah. If they hold the door open for me on the second one for whatever reason, I'll give them like a head nod, like, hey, thanks again.
Yeah, but how do they see you?
Like, I'll turn to him and give him the head nod as I'm walking through.
Yeah, but he's ahead of you is what I'm saying. Like, he's just kind of holding it, like, with his hand back, like, making sure you get to it. Like, and he's not going to look back after he opened up the first door for you. He obviously holds it and waits for you and, like, make eye contact, and you say thanks. And the next door he goes in, he's just ahead of you and, like, kind of just puts his arm back and pushes it open for you. Do you have to say thank you on the second time?
I acknowledge it, yes.
I think it's weird. Like, you're like, thank you, and they're like, oh, thank you. Like, clearly, you don't have to say thank you twice because you said thank you the first time. So that was just my debate that I went into. So you're on team two thank yous, pretty much. That's basically what you're saying, because you're acknowledging it the second time.
Yeah, I'm a thank you, and then I'm an acknowledge, not okay. thank you.
I'm team one thank you. I'd be curious to see what people say. We'll put out a Twitter poll or something tomorrow on this one. All right. Next. Am I going all five, or do you want to just
How do you want to do it?
I'll do all five today. All right. We'll see what we like better. I'll go right back to basketball. Kentucky over under 2.5 Final Fours in the next 8 years.
Over.
Wow!
Only because his history tells me it's gonna happen.
Okay.
Because he's made four in his first eight. Assuming Calipari's there for another 8 years, you know. I mean, it's a good number. It's super hard to make. Like, the bet should be under, but I'll say over just because he's done it before.
Okay.
And, like, he's still recruiting super well. I think next year's class is going to be – I think next year's team is going to be very, very good. I don't think they lose a ton from this year.
Okay, and then I want to go next to college football. Obviously, at the Wisconsin and Iowa game on Saturday, a lot of people have been talking about if Wisconsin wins out, they may not be deserving to go to the college football playoff. If a Power 5 team is undefeated – should they be in the Final Four no matter what?
No, because not all schedules are the same.
Okay, but they what if they don't have control over the schedule? Why should they be punished for that?
I know, but it's
they scheduled BYU on a like thinking that they were going to be like BYU is every year. Utah State's actually not a bad program in the conference they play in, and they don't make the Big Ten schedule. So I just don't think that you should be.
Doesn't mean you're one of the four best teams in the country. Like to me, like.
But you should have a chance to prove it then, because you've taken care of business.
But that's not the argument. The argument is the four best teams.
But I get the argument there. But if you leave them out, you'll never know if they were one of the four best teams, because they did ever. At the end of the day, you're supposed to win games. It's right, hard to go undefeated.
With one loss, that's the same thing applies. They don't get the chance to prove they're one of the four best teams.
They did by losing a game.
Yeah, but what if they lost?
It could be a flawed argument because I know it can be a flawed argument because you play more ranked teams or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's about wins and losses.
Yeah,
that black and white.
It's not. I just don't agree with that because again, not all schedules are the same. You're just because you're 13-0 doesn't mean you're one of the four best teams in the country.
Okay.
We gotta keep
all that moving. Otherwise, we can get into this another time because I want to keep getting into these. Favorite dunker of all time.
I mean, it's got to be Vince Carter.
Yours is VC.
It has.
I feel like I maybe asked this one. That'd be bad if it did.
Yeah. Vince Carter.
Gerald Green.
He's good.
I could watch YouTube videos of him dunking any day of the week. He flies.
Yeah, I mean, he's good.
So much fun to watch.
I don't think he has anything on Carter.
Disagree. What finally breaks the internet?
Grayson Allen tripping somebody.
You think?
Or Grayson Allen getting tripped by somebody.
I think it's something to do with Trump. Yet to be seen what it is. Well, we're getting close, but I think he'll break the internet somehow.
I mean, World War III.
Hopefully not by nuclear war.
Yeah, I would say World War III would break the internet pretty good.
Those are my five. Follow that. What'd you think?
It was good. I liked it.
I should have saved my door-holding one for last because that was my favorite.
All right, my five. Are you go for it in football? Do you go for it if it's fourth down and, you know, not long on the plus side of the field, or are you field position?
I am team go for it.
Yeah, that's the correct answer.
Yeah, team go.
Who's the most intriguing team in the country for you in college basketball?
Most intriguing team.
Yep. Not best, not just – who is intriguing? And it can be for whatever reason, but who is the most intriguing team?
I'm going to go outside of the Big Ten. We talked too much about all those teams. Intriguing. I'm probably intrigued by Cincinnati right now. I really am.
Okay.
In the AAC, like really intrigued to see if they can make the jump that they haven't been able to make in the postseason.
What you get to go to a college basketball game this year? What arena are you going to see the game at?
So I want to pick somewhere where I haven't been. I think I've always wanted to go to Allen Fieldhouse.
Yeah.
I want to be courtside at Allen Fieldhouse, right in front of a corner three.
I like that. What is for a non-alcoholic drinks? What's your weird drink that you like?
Like a weird non-alcoholic drink?
Like a pink lemonade type thing.
See, but I don't think pink lemonade is weird.
But
let's see here.
People don't answer. Like, that's not a common answer.
Well, this is a perfect time to set me up to give a shout out to Water Joe. It's caffeinated water, which they are a sponsor of the Fundamentally Sound podcast, in which I got tons of water and gear, and I will be bringing – we'll bring some cases to the live show. For sure, and that'll be good to have. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking about what's in my fridge right now, and really it's just like Gatorade, water, and
– What color Gatorade?
I am a purple G2 guy. Love purple G2.
You're such a millennial.
How? What's yours?
Orange.
Orange juice or orange?
Just regular orange.
What do you mean regular orange? Orange what?
Gatorade. Just a regular orange Gatorade.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody likes orange Gatorade.
Everybody loves orange
Gatorade. No. Orange Gatorade is the worst of the original flavors.
Orange and fruit
actually, punch are the two best. Fruit punch is the worst.
No way. No way.
No. Lemon lime, cool blue. That's another Twitter poll.
I'm very classic. Like, just give me an orange. I mean, I can drink anything, but just give me an orange or a fruit punch, and I'm very, very happy.
Yeah, I miss the Gatorade commercials where you could see the orange sweat come out. You know, they were sweating Gatorade.
Right. So
I want to get back. I want to get back to you on that drink question because I feel like I have something weird.
All right.
So my TV just go on. So.
My last one is: would you rather hit a contested three at the buzzer to win a game, or put back dunk over somebody at the buzzer?
To do what?
To win. Like, would
win?
Both would be game-winning scenario, like game-winning buckets. Not like final, like regular season versus like Minnesota, let's say, or whatever
team. So I have two scenarios for this. I would probably choose dunking because I would become a Twitter legend. Like I would break the internet. Like as a 6'1" white guy dunking at the buzzer, like on somebody, that would just be like a big Twitter moment. But as for me personally, there's no more satisfaction than mouthing somebody from deep for the win.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like a catch and shoot, wing three, contested. All right, so essentially like an Aaron Harrison type shot versus.
Okay. Do we need to reference that?
Well, I'm giving you the frame, not like full court, not like just I'm trying to set the scene of what the three pointer will be.
Yeah. No. I mean, for me personally, again, like hitting a three in someone's eye for the win.
Right.
Like, because there's no better feeling than even just shooting around when you shoot it and you know it's going in. When you know a game-winning shot is going in, there's. Like it gets my veins. Like there's it's like a drug addiction. Like that is a amazing feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I completely get that. I just think if you dunk on somebody at the buzzer to win, it just like you take their manhood.
Yeah. They're dead.
Right. Right. There's no coming back from that. All right. So that's it for Fouled Out. It's going to be an awesome week of games, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, little bit of a letdown the first couple of days. I mean, I didn't watch much, but I looked at the scores and I was like, I really didn't miss much anyway.
Yeah, so it just sucks because last year you had like the two awesome games in Hawaii, but this is really gonna be like the last year that we have games on Friday to start, not Tuesday, which I think will be a smart thing to do.
To move it to Tuesday.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Yeah, agree.
Because it just gets lost. Like, yeah, if you had great games, and on Friday, it just is not getting talked about because 12 hours later, it's college football.
What is everyone going to have on their TV tomorrow night? Or TVs?
Monday Night Football. Right.
So now, when you put it on a Tuesday, it's on its own day, and people are going to tune in.
Right. No, I completely agree. So.
Hopefully they schedule some better games to start off next year.
Any final words?
No. I never do have anything for final words, so you usually get it all out. We've been on an hour, which is actually decently long.
Yeah. So follow the show, Fundamentally SD. Rate, subscribe, review on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere and everywhere. Again, we're going to start going to two shows a week. Ben and I will be together every Sunday night recording, barring, unforeseen circumstances. And then during the week, there will be some weeks where Ben is gone, so it'll just be me and a guest. But, we'll have guests lined up during the weeks. And Sunday night will be more of this, of us recapping, previewing. Send us your thoughts on that. We always look for feedback. Certain guests you want lined up, things like that, because obviously – the weeks that Ben's gone, it's me and the guests kind of, filling in for Ben. So it's a little bit more back and forth that way as opposed to three people. It's just, a different format. So guests you want, feedback on the Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday type shows, shoot it over on Twitter, DM. Like we say always, we take everything that that is said, and really try to figure it out from there. So anything you guys do to help, that's greatly appreciated. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week or later this week with episode 36. Enjoy the games. Go win some money.